13 reaping, golden alga. Alga update. Mr. Phil DeRosier. Phil?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, I'm Phil DeRosier, the Director of Inland Fisheries. Before we start, I'd like to introduce Dr. Dave Sager. Dave is he's head of the Golden Alga Task Force, who performed in this agency, and he'll be here to answer any of the technical questions you may have after I make this presentation. What I'm going to do today is give you some information on the golden algae in Texas. First, we'll talk about what the golden algae is. We'll talk about a historical perspective of the golden algae in Texas. I'll give you some information about the current status, where we are today with the golden algae in certain river systems in the state. We'll talk about what this agency is doing to begin managing the golden algae. Talk about some of the research and the accomplishments that we've had since we began working vigorously on the golden algae, probably in the year 2001, and then briefly the next steps, where we see ourselves going with this program. The golden algae is a microscopic yellow-green algae. It's usually associated with brackish water. It's usually found in estuarine situations. Unfortunately, it produces several toxins that kill fish, mollusks, and other aquatic life. Fortunately, it's not a threat to humans, wildlife, or livestock. The golden algae was first described in 1937 in England. Including the U.S., it is currently found in 14 countries. Those include mostly Europe, Morocco, Israel, South Africa, Australia, and it's even found in China. It was first identified in the United States from the Pecos River in 1985. Prior to 1981, fish kills occurred sporadically in the Pecos and some areas in the upper Brazos and the Colorado River. Unfortunately, at that time, we didn't know what was causing those fish kills. They were often attributed to other factors, and it was not till that time that we began to realize that the golden algae really was the issue in these areas. Since we began having issues with the golden algae in 2001, since we began having fish kills here in Texas, and really it wasn't until that time when people began to look for the golden algae, it's been reported in 16 states. Since 2001, the locations and occurrences of kills in Texas have increased dramatically. Right now, we've described the golden algae, or we're having fish kill issues with the golden algae in five of the river systems of Texas. In the Brazos River, the Colorado, the Pecos, the Red River, and the Canadian River in the Panhandle. Unfortunately, two of our fish hatcheries are located in the watersheds of several of these systems, and we've had significant fish kills in a lot of our fish hatcheries, and we've been working real hard since 2001 to try to learn how to manage that situation in fish hatcheries. In fact, in 2001, when this really, really broke out for us, we produced no stragglers in any of our fish hatcheries in Texas. We lost all of our fish due to fish kills caused by the golden algae.
What year was that, Jonathan?
In 2001. Since 2001, we've seen fish kills in over 33 water bodies in the state of Texas. And this has included 30 million plus fish have been killed. Now, fortunately, most of these are forage fish and small rough fish, but some of the recreational fisheries and some of our more important lakes in the state have been affected by the golden algae. The current status, what we've seen as of last week, in the Pecos River, we have a fairly high cell counts, but we haven't seen any fish kills yet this year. In the Colorado River, we have an elevated cell count again, but no fish kills, but that's an indication that at any point in time here, we could begin having kills. In the Brazos River, our cell counts are at low levels in Possum Kingdom, Granbury, and Whitney. It's important because these are very important fisheries in these areas. And the Red River at Lake Diversion, in Lake Diversion, which is the water supply for Dundee Fish Hatchery, the toxin is at a very toxic level, so we're having to be real careful as we get in our production season at Possum Kingdom. Now, what we did initially in 2001, we created what we call the Golden Alga Task Force to coordinate all the efforts of in Texas and to gather information to begin to figure out how we were going to manage this situation. This included staff from the Inland and Coastal Division. And what they did was work to develop a plan on how we were going to attack the golden algae management and research in the state of Texas to actually see if there's anything we could do. Now, we took some actions on the strategic side. We did several things. Initially, we held an international workshop in 2003. We invited experts from all over the world to come to Fort Worth. And they met, and we it was a chance for us to gather all the information we could that was known about the golden algae, because actually some other parts of the world have been having issues with golden algae a lot longer than we have. So we brought these people in, and we let them work with us to develop a plan of how we were going to attack the golden algae in terms of research, in terms of the information that we needed. We also changed some of our management and stocking strategies to begin to deal with this. For instance, we said if these reservoirs that were impacted by golden algae were going to be top priority for all of our stocking programs. A lot of these areas were affected fairly significantly economically, and we wanted to go in and stock fish and try to bring these fisheries back just as quickly as we could. Communication and education efforts with the public, with other government agencies and other states, and particularly with our stockholders, we wanted to let people know what we knew. We were trying to prevent any kind of panic, people really concerned about what the golden algae was going to do for us. And also, strategically, we began to coordinate the sharing of information with other agencies and some other people from all around the world. We also, because we got some appropriation from the legislature, we began to do research to begin to learn more about the golden algae. We did applied research on reservoirs and our fish hatcheries. Of course, it was very important that we learn how to manage the golden algae in our fish hatcheries. And we also contracted with several universities in the state and outside of this state to do some work for us so that we begin to piece together all the science that would help us maybe in the future learn how to manage this creature. Now, in the reservoir research, some of the things that we've done is we expanded our monitoring and our bloom sampling. We began sampling early in the fall so we can have information being gathered as the blooms occur. So maybe at some point in time we can figure out what it is that's triggering these blooms and maybe have some way of managing it. We also looked at a statewide distribution. We wanted to know where the golden algae was an issue in Texas and where it could potentially be an issue. Most of the fish kills have been occurring west of I-35 in the western part of the state, and we wanted to make sure that it was isolated there, and we did do a statewide distribution study to find out where the algae was. With our hatchery research, we began to experiment with chemical treatments, herbicides, trying to see if we could kill this animal out of the system. We looked at physical treatments, we looked at biological treatments, we looked at nutrient applications, and we're still doing a lot of research in those areas, but I'm glad to say that our hatchery staff has been real diligent in this work, and we have had really good production of our stripers the last several years. It's kind of a scary deal for those guys that they're so happy when those fish finally leave the facility, because they know at any time they could lose all those fish due to golden algae. The university-led research, we've got a consortium of universities working on trying to model the environmental factors affecting the blooms and the toxins. We're looking at golden algae genetics to make sure that it's one species that we're dealing with and we can identify it. We've done some work on economic impact of golden algae fish kills, particularly at Lake Bottom Kingdom. We're looking at clay and flocculant applications. What these applications do is settle the golden algae out of the water column and hopefully reduce the toxicity. And through all this work, we've learned certain things about the golden algae. We're far ahead of where we were in 2001 when we began looking at this work. Now, what we found out from this statewide distribution study is that the golden algae is more widespread in Texas than it was expected. We have found golden algae in every river system in the state of Texas. So it's everywhere. Fortunately, it needs an advantage to bloom. So these advantages, it doesn't get the same advantage in every part of the state. Golden algae does really well when the green algae, the normal algae that grow in our lakes are not doing well. When it has an advantage, when because of either temperature, you know, during the winter, the green algae don't grow as fast, and the golden algae get the advantage. It seems to be somewhat related to salinity, since it's an estuarine algae. It probably requires some level of salinity to get an advantage. Water quality interactions with algae and toxin are critical. We've learned that. It's not just because we have a bloom of golden algae doesn't mean all the fish are going to die. There's certain things that have to be there in the water quality and the water chemistry that are going to trigger the toxins to become toxic, really. One of these is systems with a low pH. If, you know, everything west of 35 has a relatively high pH, usually averages 9 to 10. When pHs are high, the golden algae have the advantage. When pHs are low, anything below pH of 7, which occurs all of East Texas, everything east of 35, we rarely have toxic occurrences. We have the golden algae, but we're not seeing any of the toxins being produced. We've also learned in our hatchery systems that ozone, ultraviolet, light, ammonia, sulfate, chelated copper, and other treatments are successful. So using a combination of these things, we have been able to manage the golden algae and the toxicity of our fish hatcheries, at least get them through the production season so we can have some fish to stock. We've looked at all kinds of things. We got a lot of information from other countries about some of the things they were doing to control golden algae. We tried them all. We tried barley straw. We tried ultrasonic vibrations and bacterial treatments, and we found out that none of those were successful in our work in Texas. And we are, the flocculant clay and nutrient applications are showing some problems. So some of the things that we're continuing to look at. Now, some of the recent accomplishments, golden algae doesn't only attack big rivers and big reservoirs. We're also having some issues on some of the small ponds, private ponds, or city ponds, and some of the lakes in West Texas. And fortunately, because of the size, some of these there are methods we can use to control the golden algae. And we developed a pond management guideline to give these people a system in taking care of the golden algae in those circumstances. We had our staff publish the paper, and it was presented at the American Fish Society Reservoir Symposium in Atlanta this past summer, and the title was Toxic Golden Algae, a Potential Threat to U.S. Reservoirs. And what we're trying to do was alert everybody in the country that this is not just a Texas problem, this has the potential to be a problem all over the United States. And we passed out, at the beginning of this presentation, a fact sheet that we prepared to hand out to people all over the state so they know what we know about golden algae and just try to keep the communication open with our constituents. Now, several things we're going to continue to do. We're going to continue to do all these dynamic studies that we're doing with the universities because they seem to be collecting a lot of really good data, and we're hoping at one point in time they will develop some kind of model for us that we can predict when the golden algae is going to become toxic and when it may not. And if there's anything we can do to break those steps. We will continue to identify and isolate the toxins. That's important to us, again, because just because the algae is there doesn't mean it's killing fish. And what we do now, we go in and we collect water samples, and we have to look for the golden algae in column, and we'd like to have some kind of probe where we can just put in the water and see whether that water is toxic or not. That's the area that we're working towards with this toxin studies. We're going to also look at additional possible treatments. We're continuously talking to people. People are coming to us saying, we think we have a herbicide that's going to work, and we'll look at everything that they have to see if we can find a silver bullet here. And finally, we're going to, in 2009, we're going to bring all those experts back together again and go over the information that we've gleaned since the 2003 and see if there's anything else and come up with a plan, another plan of action that we can move down the road and go get the information we need, and maybe one day we can find a way to manage this in our big systems in Texas. Golden algae is here. There's been some speculation that It was related to the drought that we've been through in the last 10 years, causes an increase in salinity. Well, if that was the case, and we don't know, then we should find out this year, because we've got water in all those systems, and they've been flushed out fairly well. But with that, I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Please, Mr. Graham.
I was wondering, and maybe you did cover it, but has it impacted Laguna Madre in some of those areas? And is it in any way related to the, you know, the same thing like the red tide that we've got issues with?
The closest we've had, I think this past year, we had some fish kills that occurred on the lower Brazos. But as far as up to this date, I don't know any we've had in any of our bay systems. So their problem there is the red tide. They've got other issues to deal with. Yes, sir.
So is anything we could anything that we go to?
Not yet. Maybe we're looking.
Yes. All right. And I think that leads kind of my question too. I mean, do you feel that these other states, and as you said, on an international basis, there's intensive work going on there as you're doing and APW's doing?
A lot of the work being done overseas was being done in hatchery situations. That's why we had an advantage in hatchery. It was particularly prevalent in Israel, where they produce a lot of fish on fish farms, and they've been dealing with golden algae for many years. So that's where we got a lot of the information that we used to manage it on our system. But the only other states that are having, and it's not near to the scope of what we have here in Texas, is New Mexico and Arizona, our neighbors to the west. There was a scare last year in Oklahoma on Lake Texoma. Golden algae is in Lake Texoma. Fortunately, we haven't had any large blooms there and any big fish kills, but that's a real concern to us.
But are they doing research to your knowledge at the level you are?
Not at all.
Not at all. Okay. Any other questions for Joe? Thank you, sir. Appreciate you taking the time. This is nasty stuff.